Okay.
What it do? You know, you already know what it is. It's King Me Podcast. And guess what? We got a guest today. Well, he ain't totally a guest, not to me anyway. Maybe a guest to the show. But today's guest is one of the sharpest minds I know. A man who walks with wisdom, peace, and purpose. He's someone who protects his energy like gold and never let the noise of the world shake his spirit. Low key, a legendary. He a devoted husband, proud father, of two brilliant kids, and a United States Air Force veteran who traveled the globe and soak up knowledge from every corner of life. Now he's here, ready to drop gems and share some of that hard-earned wisdom with us. You don't meet people like him every day, so get ready to be inspired. Welcome to the show, Eric, the guru.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This cat, man, where you did this research at, man? This cat done that following out. You been following me, dog?
Nah, no, man. I ain't been following you.
We got my elementary pictures.
Nah, I ain't got no elementary pictures. I'm very observant, man. Yeah, observant. No, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, no, that's a fact.
Today is Juneteenth.
Yes, sir.
So happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth, Kings.
Yeah, happy Juneteenth to everybody.
Let's get it.
I don't know how everybody feel about Juneteenth, but how you feel about Juneteenth?
Dude, I mean, first of all, happy Juneteenth, of course. But I remember the first time I heard of Juneteenth. I was in Albuquerque. I think it was like 94. And my homeboy Mike from Atlanta, Georgia, one of the coolest cats, man. I've been blessed to have like older brothers that kind of adopted me and took me on their wing. Cause I'm kind of like, not standoffish, but you know, I'm kind of like eyeball. I don't really fit in like, yeah, at the beginning, you said take my energy. You know, I don't know. When you're overthinker, you tend to avoid situations that you know, compromise you or your morals or whatever. So this guy Mike, super cool, you know what I'm saying? One of the OGs. He was bouncing, so he used to hook up with the Q's. And they invited us on to campus, you know what I'm saying? It was at University of Mexico, and it was a Juneteenth celebration. It's like, what in the world? It had an African bazaar and everything. I was like, Juneteenth? Like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, emancipation and, you know, black people, we was freed, but out west, we weren't free. Like, huh? I've never heard that before, ever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In my life. Like, so we was like on layaway slaves or something? Like, how that worked? You know, but, you know, they broke it down, everything. And I remember, like, years later coming home, you know, say like 98, 99, I was like, man, you know, they Juneteenth. She's like, huh, Juneteenth? You know, it wasn't even nothing. So every year around this time of year, I'm like, yeah, it's Juneteenth. Right. People are like, okay. And then like seemed like in the past, maybe like 10, 15 years, it really started picking up. People start really acknowledging it and like, you know, empowering themselves from that energy. You know, and to me, it just like shows how there's a lot of history that we really don't know that's coming to the light.
Absolutely.
Age of Aquarius, baby.
You always say that, Age of Aquarius, yeah, the truth about to become, well, things that was hidden getting ready to come to the light.
The most I said that, you know, all that's what's done in the dark is gonna come to light.
Yeah.
And I think if you got your eyes open, man, you can see it. You know, a lot of stuff that we were led to believe pretty much all our lives, you know, you start to see now that, nah, that's not it.
Yeah.
And not only is not it, man, it's like 180, and it's almost to your detriment if you continue to follow some of these things, that traditions of men.
Right, you know, right. How you feel about that, Q?
I'm gonna be honest. Juneteenth. I just gotta be honest. I don't know much about it. I just know.
I mean, yeah.
I just know we recently started celebrating it, like you said, like in a manner where it's kind of being observed by everybody.
Right.
Like you said, in the past years, we've heard about it, but I don't really know the history behind it. So, I mean, he got me off of work today, so I was happy about it.
Yeah, you was off today?
Yeah, I was off today. Man, so, no, so in that perspective, too, the fact that a lot of companies and a lot of businesses are actually acknowledging it to the point where they're giving their employees that time off, that's a lot. That says a lot. So I'm thankful for the progress that we've made. Yeah, still got a long way to go, but I'm thankful for the progress we've made so far.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's that history. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, if someone would set us down when we were 3-4 years old and it's like, you're a king, you're a prince, you have a kingdom, a vast kingdom, you know what I'm saying? Your whole perspective of yourself would be different. The way you even look at everything around you would be different because you look at yourself different. So that in turn changes the world or how you perceive things. So like, I'm all for Juneteenth, man. I mean, whatever black people can do to try to like build themselves up, to give themselves that, you know, because we face a lot of adversity on this continent, you know. So every little bit of sunlight helps. You know what I'm saying? We blacks, yeah. So we need vitamin D, so stay in the sun.
I ain't lying.
Definitely.
Hey, out the air conditioning. Get in there.
How you feel about it?
I just started to, a few years ago, I started to do some little research about Juneteenth and what it is. Basically, same thing what you said, Eric. Basically, you know, we wasn't freed until, I guess, it was after the Emancipation mm-hmm. Proclamation.
Right.
And I think that was some like a couple years later, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Yeah, so basically, it kind of snuck up on me, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. for as, you know, it becoming a holiday and everything else. But, you know, I don't have no direct connection with it, you know what I'm saying, personally, because it seemed like it was celebrated in Texas a lot more.
It was. Like I said, it was out west all those years ago.
But when you really think about it, it makes sense, like being that we're in the South, the deep South at that. Mm-hmm. And then if you think about during that time period, how information got out. We have the luxury of when something goes on, we can look on our phone and it's right there. Mm-hmm. This is stuff that some people might didn't even know a war was going on in their behalf.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Right,
and they couldn't. So a lot of slaves couldn't read and write, so it's not like their masters were going to come and say, "Well, y'all free today."
Yeah,
nah. So it makes sense that a lot of people didn't know that they were actually deemed as free.
Right. And from what I understand, I mean, I haven't gone in certain things about the history. You know, it's like, man, it's just more bad news. You know what I'm saying? So, but the more and more I look at it and just briefly, just like kind of like trying to do my little research, it's like, man, so it's like pretty much like behind the door deals. You know, we're going to keep these Negroes in the field cropping out, you know, so we can make this money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all good, you know, because like how you said, it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying, it's on the news or your phone, you get an alert, something like that, you know what I'm saying, news break out this mug or something, you know what I'm saying? So they were able to get away with that for so much longer than it should have happened. And they made money off of it, you know what I'm saying? Because right. The bottom line is money. That's the only reason why they were kept slaves, so they can, you know what I'm saying, get in these fields and sow and harvest and, you know what I'm saying, bring this money in. And it could have been like a means of like conceding to like what was going to happen. Right. You know, just let us get our money. And we gonna let them all go. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't really even let them all go because, I mean, man, history is crazy, right? I'm learning now that, you know, they had laws for like our black women, you know, World War II, World War I vets, you know what I'm saying? Even daggone the Civil War, you know, the money they were getting, you know, they didn't have to work for the white people.
Right.
And then here it is, you know, they come up with laws saying, no, you gotta work. It's a law that you gotta work. And then when black people was trying to bounce it, in South Carolina, it was like, nah, you can't even leave. Like, where you going? You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
that's crazy.
You know, and that's what the thing about history. That's why, like, math, they don't teach math, like, how they're supposed to, the science, like, none of the stuff that they teach us is how they're supposed to teach us. When you look at history, I hated history. History, man, it was like, you know, we were Negroes, we were slaves, you know what I'm saying? White man freed us, and, you know what I'm saying? Look at me here, nigga.
And to your point, man, that's kind of like, that's what they wanted you to see.
Right.
Like, they didn't want you to see the greatness and what you are.
No.
Like, all the inventions and all the great things that we did. Like, if we did learn that in history, in the social studies book,
right.
it was like a quick paragraph about it.
Yes.
But come talking about our oppression.
One small paragraph.
Yeah.
You know, a paragraph's supposed to be like 5 to 6 sentences.
Yeah, no.
We might get 3 sentences. Yeah. He did this right here.
All
right. Yeah. And we're going to skim past that.
We'll give you a couple quotes from Martin Luther King.
But when it's time to talk about slavery, we got whole chapters.
Oh, yeah.
Half of the book is about slavery.
Yeah,
and we talk in depth. Show everything everything that they were using.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of wanted that. They wanted to etch that in your brain.
That's right.
Keep so it's like state. A form of control. Yeah,
it is. It definitely
a form
is.
Of control.
It definitely is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, I think like a lot of people willingly accept that because, you know, it's, to change would be just so, you know, man, we can't change it. You know what I'm saying? It's good now. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people stay in the situation they are in, you know what I'm saying, currently because they like, I'm not that great. You know what I'm saying? Or that can't be possible. You know what I'm saying? When it is. It is you. Yeah. Only thing a white person ever invented in America was a patent office. You know what I'm saying? We invented, man, everything. You know what I'm saying? Everything from the first cell phone call was made by a black man in New York. I learned that working for Sprint. I had a lot of jobs. But
I had a lot of jobs, but
you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything from like your tablet, you know what I'm saying? You look at your house security system, that's a black woman, dude.
Man, one of the most amazing inventions that I saw from a black man was, you know those things that keep the trains together, that keep the carts together?
Yeah, the couplers.
Yeah, he created that. And when I was watching it and I was reading up on it, the way they finessed him out of that was so crazy. I think he ended up, they ended up giving him maybe like $35 to $40 for that patent.
See?
Now, if you look at anything that you ever touch in America, it's going to be on two things. At some point, it's going to be on a train, and at some point, it's going to be on a truck.
Yep. Yeah.
So imagine if he was able to keep his patent, what that could look like for his family.
Dude.
Instead of a one-time payment. That's, man, like when you really think about that kind of stuff, it really makes you like,
man,
it make you mad. Like,
that's they want.
Man, you changed the whole bloodline just by taking this man credit, which is crazy.
What's my man named? The Peanut Man. I forgot my man. That's so messed up.
Is it George Washington? No.
Yeah, George Washington Carver. So you know that they pretty much just cut his sexual organs off right when he was a child because they adopted him and they didn't want him to like mess with their daughter. So they did that to this man, you know what I'm saying, before he was even an adolescent. And because he doesn't have kids, all of his inventions are to those people that adopted him.
Wow.
Ain't history something, y'all?
Yeah, it almost like they strategically did it.
Yeah. I could maybe devil's advocate, you know, you don't want this black man, you know, we want a brown babies type stuff, because that's the racism.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying, the prejudice, but when you look at, like, all this man did, you know, and, like, I think now I've seen where just recently they're trying to take away his inventions. Like, they're trying to say he didn't invent peanut butter. And ever since I was a kid, y'all, you know, he is the peanut butter man. He invented peanut butter, right. You know what I'm saying? But now they're trying to say, like, do Google AI. Go AI. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, he's been rumored to invent it. Oh, get out of here, man. So y'all changing history in real time. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time they bring new technology, it seems like they're going to use that to edit out us specifically.
But it's just like B said, man, by the being strategic. I watched this documentary, and it's called Everything is a Rich Man's Game.
Mm.
Everything, it's like 3 hours long. Mm. So you have to watch it in sections if you get a chance to watch it. But they just show like how everything is orchestrated. Mm. Nothing is what meets the eye. It's, right, and I know you got the people, oh, that's conspiracy. Everything is in the conspiracy. Some things are very strategic. And like you said, that's the thing that, like, they pull strings behind the scenes. So you always going to have those people like, nah, I don't believe that. That's just a coincidence. Yeah. Almost nothing is, anything that happens on a major scale is no coincidence.
There's no such thing.
It's some organizing and planning and executing.
There's a cause and effect.
Right. It's never just, oh, this just, like, you got to think, we're going to take COVID-19.
Oh, wow.
To say, like, in this off subject, but to say,
no,
this just happened. COVID-19 didn't just happen. Nothing on that magnitude, on that scale, just happens. Like, so, like you said, even with history, everything, it's strategic, it's planned out, it's executed, it's, like, it's a plot. It's not just things happening. No, I can't stand that logic.
I mean, me either. It's an escape. It's a means of escape when you just want to say no, because you have to start thinking then. And when you have to start questioning, like, your beliefs, like, that's, like, what's called cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's, like, it's a real thing where, you know what I'm saying, you've been told something all your life, and now you have to, like, front that and realize that, no, it's a lie. Like, people break down. People go into crazy house behind stuff like that.
Yeah.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just too much for them. But, I think, like, even a child recognizes a lie, even if you're smiling or, you know what I'm saying, they know that you believe frowning, you know what I'm saying? So us as black people just accepting stuff, I think that's, like, was a means of survival. But, you know what I'm saying, the times are different now, you know, not to say that we're in any better shape as a people, but just be like he was saying earlier, you know, like, there's no way to hide certain truths that were hidden from us that could have, that probably caused this dysfunction within ourselves, you know what I'm saying? I mean, within the individual.
Mm-hmm.
When you think you're nothing, you're gonna act like you're nothing. You know what I'm saying? When you're told that you have no hope because every history book tell you that you're just this and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Then you're just gonna be that. You know what I'm saying? So the awakening, you know what I'm saying? The eyes that are opening now, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people are gonna see conspiracy anywhere they look, but you know, if you have eyes, you're gonna see it. You know, the Bible says that. If you have ears, you're gonna hear the truth. You know what I'm saying? The Most High said, listen, I take my flock to the and my flock, you know what I'm saying, is in the pasture and that, you know what I'm saying, they're drinking with everybody else's flock. So when I my flock, you know what I'm saying? When they recognize my voice immediately and they follow me. But guess what? Some other sheep in this, you know what I'm saying? I might try, I ain't stealing. But they recognize my voice as a good shepherd.
Right.
So the truth is like that too. You know what I'm saying? Like when you see the truth, you know what I'm saying? Or when you hear the truth, man, you know, to go against something that you know in your heart is what it is, man. That's like, you might as well just jump off a cliff. You know what I'm saying? Because now you want to just sacrifice anything for that comfort of a lie.
There's a lot of people jumping off the cliff.
Dude. I jump off the cliff too, nigga. I don't think I'm perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, babe. That's okay, babe.
Right. I think we all do to a certain extent because some things are just like, it's hard to wrap your mind around.
Facts.
It's very like, so even though we're saying some of the stuff about the consciousness and you know, the strategic planning, we know that, but some things are very, especially if you're not, and everybody don't have the same mental capabilities. And I really want people to quit operating as though every person has the mental capability that you have. Although right. I may be strong-willed, and I'm willing to be able to say, you know what, objectively think about things like,
yes,
okay, my viewpoint might not be right.
Right.
My viewpoint may have been tainted. So let me be open-minded enough to actually sit down and hear what this person, hear what these people have to say, because what I believe or what I know to be true may not be true. But that requires you to have an open mind and to be objective to what you believe in, your opinions too.
If you have understanding, then you understand you don't understand anything. There's 360 degrees of everything, you know. So I can argue a case from right to wrong and all the way back around, you know what I'm saying, and hit each 360 points or whatever. But at the end of the day, if I'm talking over your head or if I'm talking to you in a way that make you feel like I'm talking down to you, then you're not going to receive any of that, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times people look for, like, oh, I don't like the way you said that. Like, a woman wants you to go, well, yeah, you're right, but I don't like the way you said it. Like, what? Listen, what are you talking about? Like, is it the truth? Is it right or not? Like, you don't like what I'm saying? Is that why you continue to keep doing the wrong stuff? Is that, you know what I'm saying? So I think people, at the end of the day, you know, we want to be comfortable, but you can't be comfortable and think that you can exist on a plane of understanding because they just don't, you know what I'm saying? Once you understand so much, man, it's like you're not going to be able to sleep well. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you start thinking about, like, the stuff they put in food, you start thinking about, like, the air, when you start thinking about just everything, you know, it's hard to, like, rest your mind behind that.
You know what people do? And I say it all the time. Once you have came into the knowledge of the truth, that's when people start lying to themselves.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm. Elaborate a little bit more, though.
Yeah, that's deep. I like that.
It's like... You know, the way I kind of look at it is basically, you know something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like water, H2O, you know what I'm saying? And oxygen, hydrogen, you know what I'm saying? Right. Make up water, you know what I'm saying? And you know that to be true, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if anything come to you and challenge you in so many different ways to push back on that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then you would have to lie to yourself to kind of like, okay, yeah, that's
yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I can see that. You start compromising, you know what I'm saying? Once you start compromising, then now you start believing the lie, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I honestly feel like people, you know what I'm saying, we come into the knowledge of the truth all the time by certain things, but, you know what I'm saying, it almost go against our personal belief, you know what I'm saying? And if it go against our personal belief, then, you know what I'm saying, that got to be a lie. But the facts are, this is the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Well, try explaining to, like, your great-grandma that Jesus' name ain't Jesus and he wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, so how would that go over?
You know, man, you can't win. You're not going to
win. You might get crucified for real.
They oh, yeah.
Right they behind on the cross.
I'm talking about oil.
You gonna tell my great grandma that Jesus ain't Jesus? Like, his name ain't Jesus? And, you know.
And then for one, like you said,
that's
man.
That's fast. That's fast right there.
They said it, but it goes back to the saying, the truth hurts. Like, man, because sometimes the truth really hurts.
But
like,
then they say the truth is welcome, too. So which one is
nah, it? Like, people got a lot. We have a lot of cachet sayings that we like to say because it sound good.
It fits what we wanted to
right. say. Right. We've heard. Let's be honest here. Yeah. That's like your woman coming to tell you. And I'm going to just be honest. You're not the best sexual partner that I ever had.
Right.
But you told her the truth is welcome.
Right.
That truth hurt you. Was that truth really welcome? Nah. No. So yeah. The truth is not like it hurts sometimes. Like, and that's just. That's just
is it the
way
truth
it is.
Hurts or is it just that understanding where you're wrong hurts? You know what I'm saying? Because when hearing the truth does it just like, okay, so that's a red light, don't go. But you know what I'm saying? Understanding that you done like went through that red light and got in a crash, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it? Is it like the person telling me that I'm wrong or what the truth is? Is it because it's coming from that person sometimes? Is that why we can like, I don't care what they say.
I think the way, like you got a point. The person and the delivery of the truth may be the cause of the hurt too. So I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, because like my wife asking me how she look, and I'm like, babe, you look good or you look bad, you know, good or bad, whatever it might hurt her feelings, but it's not gonna affect the same way like somebody on the street saying like you look good or bad. You know what I'm saying? So like I'm telling her the truth, like you look bad, babe, you know. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And so she go out on the street and somebody say, you know, you look, what's that you got on? You know, it's not going to affect her the same way. I mean, not to say that, you know, it's all an opinion, of course. Right. But, you know, when it's like hard, actual facts, like, you know, saying like Jesus, there's no such thing. There wasn't no J. So Jesus' name ain't Jesus. And, you know what I'm saying? You know, Jehovah ain't Jehovah. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got people that's been, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the establishment of that church, you know what I'm saying? You're telling these people that, no, there was no J.
That might make people go crazy.
That'll make people that, yeah, you might get lynched.
Certain truth will make people go crazy.
Yeah.
Certain truth, but depending on what it is. If it go against their personal belief.
When it comes to that religion thing, I think that's the hardest truth for a lot of black people.
Facts.
To really accept in a lot of different ways. Yes. Because during slavery, during any time in your life, that's the one thing.
Yep.
That you held on to. That's the one thing that gave you hope. That's the one thing that let you know, like, there can be a better day. There will be a better day. So when you're dealing with that, it's a delicate situation. Right. And sometimes you have to ask God for a discernment on how to deliver certain things, because it's not always about what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's how you're delivering
That's
it a lot
right.
of time.
Mm-hmm.
So when certain conversations, like if I have to talk to certain people, I ask God for discernment on how to deal with that That's person, because I may be able to tell you, bro, them shoes ain't hitting today. And because we got a relationship, that might be cool. But if I come tell this young man here, yeah, I mean, those shoes nice. That's not something that I wear. Basically the same message, but the delivery was different. So when you're dealing with people and you're speaking on Jesus and all of that stuff, your discernment has to be in the right place, because that conversation, you got to have that in a delicate way, because, man, people will come out of their bag on you about
you know what?
Christianity.
I think what it is, too, I mean, I agree with you 100%, man. And, I think about like how churches are like, you know, think about Juneteenth and just how powerful and how what the foundation that our black churches set for us way back then, and just like how they're absent now. And I mean, just watching, like, you know, I'm a PK, so I have some, you know, understanding of like church functions and everything. And I'm not in church now. I don't agree with what churches are, you know, and more I just reading the Bible for myself, you know, a lot of like the truths I see there were always lies. Like, you know, there was no apple, you know what I'm saying? There was no 2x2 in the Noah's Ark, or, you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of things in the Bible that were used to, like, control my thinking about everything. And then when I started looking with my own eyes, grown-up eyes, I realized that it was much deeper, and it wasn't exactly how they said it.
Hold on. Let me. And then, to your point, I'm glad you said that. The biggest problem is two things. In religion, we go by what we heard. This preacher been saying this for 1,000 years, so now we're going to just follow up because that's what I always heard. That's why the Bible say, study to show thyself approved.
That's right.
That means okay, pastor is saying this, but let me go read it for myself. Right. So what we have a tendency to do in church is, well, my pastor said it, so it's law.
Right. No,
no, no. No. My pastor always tells us, please go back and read yourself and ask God for understanding yourself. Don't just take what I say, because I'm a man. And see, we got to stop putting these preachers on pedestals where we looking at them as God figures. They're human just like us. So whatever they say ain't the law. God put them here as a shepherd. But
it's a trust thing, though.
It is, but we, but that's it's just a cycle you got to break.
There's a trust thing.
Okay, think about this, though. I'm saying, though, I don't think that all preachers, I don't think that it's a concerted effort for preachers to go out and deceive the masses. But I think, like how you said, you know, it's like these, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have certain set sermons, you know what I'm saying? Like, we need to kick up some money. We got this sermon, or we want to do this. And it's easy to, like, talk about, like, general experiences that we all have and draw people in, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'm stepping on some of y'all toes out there, you know, all that. But the only thing you're doing is talking about stuff that we all go through, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when you start, like, really getting into the Word, like, okay, so for like, but Bible school, like, you know what I'm saying? I forgot what they call that. What they call that when you, that's crazy, right? It happens on Wednesday.
Bible study.
Bible study. Yeah.
Every Wednesday in Black Churches of America, they
get
together.
Well, we do ours on Tuesdays.
Okay, there you go there. What you, are you Baptist?
No,
I knew
that.
Baptist is Wednesday. Okay, well, there you go. But I was best with you. But it's like, you know, that's when we're supposed to be getting into the Word. And but that's a dangerous thing, because, like, the Word speaks to your spirit. And it does more than just, like, dial D, this, that, and other. It actually, like if you're in that spirit, I guess, it reveals a lot of stuff to you and about you. So my grandmother, she read scriptures as best she could, you know what I'm saying, functional literate, you know what I'm saying, because you knew they couldn't really get that education.
Right.
But she knew verses, and she knew, like, Psalm 23, and she knew this and knew that and the other. But when you start getting deep into, like, the minutia of, like, what the Word is, like I said, Grandma, you know, she was living, I was like, you know, Jesus said, he came like, he's a sword, you know what I'm saying? He's cutting both ways. He's not, he don't come to bring peace. He came to bring, you know what I'm saying, destruction to this construct that we call church. That chick, she probably slapped the mess out of me. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus said that. He said, hey, I don't, you put me up on a pedestal, but I don't come here to, like, you know, kumbaya, y'all. I'm the sword. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna make fathers turn against sons, and the old against the young, and mothers against daughters. And when you think, like, man, that's not the Jesus, you know, the gospel that they preach, you know what I'm saying? But this is the good news, because once you start cutting loose that fat, once you deviate from these paths that was laid out from you, then you start becoming enlightened yourself. When I start reading the Bible for myself, that's when I became enlightened. It wasn't all those years, you know what I'm saying, singing on the Sunbeam Choir and Easter speeches and, you know what I'm saying, doing a little, you know, it was none of that
you know,
stuff.
You know what that is? Religion.
Facts. And we're very religious, but our spiritual, but see, that's the thing though. Black people in America, I'm kind of biased because I'm black in America, but it's in my heart, it's from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, who's closer to God than we are? I mean, who's closer, who calls on a God more for reasons? You know what I'm saying?
That's facts.
But what do we get from that? Facts. Like, how, we don't get nothing. We get a pie in the sky. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry. Take that slap against your face, turn your other cheek, because, you know what I'm saying, when you die, everything's going to be better. You know what I'm saying? Okay, well, I don't know, though, because to me, that seems like you're trying to control
that's
me.
A lot of gems.
But I also think, too, with that, like, my pushback for that would be, we have a mindset of, we just going to sit here and God is just going to do it.
Facts.
When the Bible actually tells you faith without works is dead. I can pray for this house all day, but there's a lot of things at play. If I'm not going to get up and go to work, if I'm not going to be a good steward of my money, if I'm not going to, it's a lot of things at play.
Right.
So I can pray about it. That's where I think the disconnect be. We have this mindset of, I'm going to just pray to God and it's going to be, but you got to do some things too. You got to, like, okay.
Mm. Can I interject right quick, like, before you finish that? You know what that sound like?
What's that?
We as black people, we like to pray and just wait. You know what that sound like? Slavery.
Slavery.
That's exactly what that is.
Even
in that case of slavery, we could have probably made some changes had we mounted up. Okay, so if I'm praying to God, right? Lord, Father God, I want this new house. I want this new house.
Yeah.
If you a bad steward with your money, you're a bad steward with your money, you don't have a job that says I can afford a $2,000 mortgage payment.
Right.
You don't have the resources for it. Your credit score ain't good. You ain't working on your credit. So that whole notion of just, I'm going to just sit here and God just going to make it happen. No, faith without works is dead. You got to put in some work. So that's my thing on that. Like, you can't pimp God. And that's what a lot of people, and I religiously try to pimp God. Like, I'm going to just pray to him and he just going to make things happen.
I think that's the slavery mindset. Like, can you imagine if you can imagine this, man, being in the field all day, basically 21 hours, 20 hours of the day, you know what I'm saying? Being in the fields, just picking cotton or whatever. And, you know what I'm saying? You coming home, you know what I'm saying? Or coming to the little house that he had.
The little cabins.
Rooms. Yeah. And then you just saying, man, God, it got to be a better way. You know what I'm saying? It got to be a way. God, smite these people. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, this, it got to be a better way.
Where's that
turn? And you constantly praying that, right? Just waiting for something to happen. And then something do happen. God gives somebody else courage to smite the person that the slave, the slave master, to come in and have courage enough to say, hey, listen, I'm leaving. You know what I'm saying?
I got a hot take.
But then somebody, you know what I'm saying? They're like, I don't know if this God or not. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're waiting.
I think like they say,
that's
like,
that mindset.
I heard like I one agree. Of the things. I agree too. I've heard like they say like one of the biggest lies the devil did was to trick the world that he didn't exist, right? I think like this whole construct with heaven and hell, devil and God. I think what it does is give people an out. If instead of you saying, "Lord Jesus, give me this house," you're praying to yourself. Realizing that you're actually the God. We are that. Think about this universe that you live in and how you control it. And even if you feel that you don't have control, like, we manifest all the time. Matter of fact, if you don't believe me, think about something bad and how that's going to happen. We always like, oh, watch this or do this or watch what's going to happen type stuff. It happens 9 times out of 10 because we manifest that, but we don't realize we're manifesting. So when like, I was just thinking about this the other day when Jesus was in the crowd and he was being pressed and that lady with the issue of blood came up to him and she touches him with his garment and she was made whole and Jesus was like, somebody touched me and they was like, you tripping. Like, you don't say this crowd, you know, we try to keep him off. And he's like, no, I felt the energy go out, the power go out of me. And he turned and looked at this woman. She's like scared, you know what I'm saying, because she felt that power. And he was like, sister, you good. Like, this ain't my power. This is your power. And it's everybody's power.
Your faith has made you whole.
Your faith has made you whole. So it wasn't the faith in him specifically. It was the faith that she weakened, struggled through a crowd just so she could get there. And she probably wasn't even expecting that.
Damn, so is it all in our mind?
Dude, think about it.
I think a lot of it is.
Oh, man.
I think 100% of it is because put in your mind anything you want to do right now and really want to do it. There's nothing that can stop you from achieving that goal. Nothing. I don't care if it's raining outside. I don't care the job. I don't care wife, family. If you're mine. But see, that's like you doing that. That's not some invisible spirit giving you the power to do what you're doing, getting up and doing the work. That's you getting up and doing the work. That's that faith, right? So So instead of you saying, yeah, well, my car's about to break down, you go and start learning how to fix your car. You know what I'm saying? You're controlling this universe. You're not just a slave to buy and buy or some type of gospel spiritual. You're actually taking control of your universe. So every time you think something negative, every time you in your mind be like, watch, this going to happen. It's going to daggone happen. And that was your A get. Why? Because the whole time you asking for that to happen.
Yeah.
Not to say that if you want, like, you know, I want a new house, like you said, and you're not doing the work for it. Okay, so you know what? When you realize you're a God, you're not going to be waiting on somebody to drop a lottery ticket on you. You don't even play the lottery. You know what I'm saying? But you, oh, I'm going to get a scratch off. And, you know, what are you talking about? Go out there and do the work. And you'll be surprised because it is just like that. The universe is going to recognize that effort. When you say something negative, then you got to believe that negative is coming back. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to tell you can't do something without seeing you try to do it or even you doing it. Or even if you fail, I'm not going to say that you can't do it I'm going to say, like, try again, because in your heart you believe that. So why am I going to tell you something else? That God in you is giving you that power to keep on doing it. So say good instead of bad and keep that neck, like you say, protect my energy. I don't want to hear that. It ain't like I don't want to hear the truth. Of course I want to hear the truth, right? I want to hear people who understand. But if you're telling me I can't drive across country because I don't have toilet paper, my dad told me, my grandma told him that when he said, I'm about to go across country. She was like, what you gonna use for toilet paper? You know, what's wrong? You know what I'm saying? So like, you can find your mind by this God that you've never seen before. Like this story, you know what I'm saying? This book that, and then the book itself. I mean, think about the Apocrypha. Think about the, with the Ethiopian Bible. Think about all this information that was left out because it didn't fit a certain narrative. But then the narrative that it fits, a narrative of control over the people. You got to go to somebody else in order for you to talk to your father. But the Most High said, you come boldly before my throne. Mm-hmm. He told Job, stand up before me like a man. Guard your loins like a man. You feel what I'm saying? He didn't say, go talk to pastor or go talk to Pope. Or no. He said, you stand up in front of me like a grown man, like a man. Right. He said, you come boldly before my throne. He don't tell me that wander in the dark and be scared and jiffy. Hey.
Come to the throne.
Come on, man.
I respect your opinion on that. Right, no doubt. I really do. And sometimes we have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, no doubt.
And on this one, I got to disagree. I still believe that God is God. And, He give us, you know, certain abilities and certain, like you said, we can make things happen by our faith and by what we do. But I just had a
brother. I agree with you. I don't believe in God. But I believe in the creator of the universe and all things.
I respect
so him. So the God to me is like what man put on, that bridle that he put on, because the God represents this thing in your mind, and that's not what the universe is.
I got you.
I mean, no, I agree with you.
100%. Yeah. Most definitely. You know what I'm saying?
But when I say the God in us, what I'm basically saying is that intellectual spirit that we have, that consciousness that we have layers of consciousness that we don't even realize we have. But simply by saying something negative, that triggers not only my conscious mind, not only my subconscious mind, but there's a mind under that just keeps running, that grabs and holds on to like negativity, to doubt, to judgment, to like shame and stuff, and it keeps you from progressing on to the next level.
And to your point, in agreement with that, the Bible says, there's power of life and death in your tongue. So the things you speak, I think a lot of times we don't understand the magnitude of what we speak. You get what I'm saying? Like
facts.
We'll say something like, man, I ain't gonna be able to get that house.
Kessler. There you go.
Well, if you just said, I'm not gonna be able to get that house. So chances are you're not gonna get that house.
Ain't no chances.
You just said it. You just spoke it.
You just spoke. It's not gonna happen.
If we're talking life and death here, you just spoke your death on getting that
exactly.
home.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what that to me what that's saying to me is, because we all have a internal voice that we all have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, sometimes we might say certain stuff to ourselves, like, I'm not gonna get this house. Like, just using that as an example. And all your cells and everything in your body believing that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything start believing that.
We made up of water. Water is mutable. So you're actually telling a powerful chemical that could pretty much do anything that you're not gonna be able to do it.
So right.
What you expect to happen. It's gonna be just like how you manifest.
And it's a book. That you always mention it. You always mention
agreements.
The four agreements.
Yeah, I love the four agreements.
Yeah, the four agreements.
I love the four agreements.
Yeah.
I love the three magic words too, but I had to like step off of that, but the four agreements, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the four agreements, man. And
you remember them? I can't remember. I always miss one, man. Like, I know keep your word impeccable. I know try your best. I know never make assumptions.
Man,
I always, and you know they alternate. It depends on like what my mind is focused on, which one I, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I know all four of them, but like you know my own selfish mind be like, you know, keep your word impeccable. Like the rest of you know what I'm saying? Try your best. I can remember you try your best, keep your word impeccable. I remember like the bookends, but that stuff in the middle, like you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna try my best to remember the rest of them. How about that?
Yeah.
And so like to your point, bro, you just said. Whatever you tell your mind, that's whatever you say, that's what your mind gonna believe. I was reading a book, and in the book it said, you could you your mind is gonna give you an answer to either question that you ask. Like if you're trying to do something, why not me? Or this ain't gonna happen for me. Right. So whichever one you go with, your mind is gonna feed that one. Right. So if you say, well, this can't happen for me, your mind is about to tell you like a computer, about to give you a download of every reason why you can't do it.
A receipt. Give you examples. Like, you see how you fell back here? You maybe tried that.
Right. So if you say
long on it.
Right. If you say
study long, study wrong, right?
You say, why not me? Right. Why not me? You'll be surprised at the qualities, you know what? You know, I do good with that.
Yeah.
You know what? That worked for me. So your mind is going, whichever question you ask your mind, it's going to feed you the answers to either one.
I agree. And I add a little bit more, just a step further with that. Once you make your mind up, that power by itself is like a fuel that goes beyond anger, beyond hate, beyond, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's because now it's like a flame that burns internal. It's not artificial. Mm-hmm. So from there, you can keep yourself warm and then eventually warm everybody around you with that same flame. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, facts.
I agree with that.
Man, listen, I'm going to be real. After we finish, man, I'm going to go back and listen to this. There's so many gems. I promise you, man, I it's so many gems. But I do want to make a pivot while we still have, you know, saying some time left. And this to you, Eric. I know we talk a lot in the past about, you know, feminine energy and women.
All right.
And especially in America, you know, it seems to be declining in a sense. You know what I'm saying? What do you believe had caused that shift over the years? And I know you've been talking about
you're
that.
Crazy. You're a wild boy. You want me to answer this question, man? If I can answer this question, man, I can daggone run the whole universe. You know what
It has been declining. Reason why I asked that question, because I know you didn't seen two sides. You seen stuff in America.
Yeah.
Women in America, and then you've seen America cross seas. And you notice the difference.
I'm gonna say this. I remember like one of my things, my dad's a preacher. And there's certain things that you can't do. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to marry this Thai chick. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have said that. My wife knows. I hope she don't listen. She ain't gonna listen. I ain't gonna listen.
She definitely not gonna listen, man.
But I remember when I came home, you know, I was so, you know what I'm saying, you know, like that feeling, and I wanted, like, I'm dead, and that cat didn't say nothing, man. And then, like, a couple days later, you know what I'm saying, he was like, just went into it, like, you know what I'm saying, she served a different God, and you know, the Bible says, my servant God, and blah, 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 you know what I'm saying. And but then, like, before that happened, I remember he has like this photo album when he was stationed in Germany. And my mom told me about this photo album, right? And it has like a lock of like some blonde hair, you know what I'm saying? Not the peroxide blonde, it's like blonde like hair, right?
Naturally blonde.
Bucks and blondes out there in Germany, right? And I kind of not questioned him, of course, you got to be careful about, you know, poking the bear, but I asked him about it, and he was like, well, yeah, I'll tell you like this. I don't care if you marry a white woman if she's not from America. American white women are different than European white women. So to your question, it's not a decline. It's just a sign of the times. I mean, especially in the black community where there has been a concerted effort to break our family nucleus down to what it is now and reverse the roles, whereas, you know, now you got to have money in order to be a keeper of the home, you know, whereas before, you know, and not to say that I'm not misogynist or anything like that, but, you know, the Most High lays down, you know what I'm saying, the hierarchy, you know. So hard-headedness, you know what I'm saying, like this arrogance and this stubbornness to not want to listen, you know what I'm saying, you know, like money is the end all to be all. So when you go overseas, you don't, and it's not because it's impoverished. I think they have a better quality of life without having money, because it's the simple things really that means more than that Beamer outside or that big house. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the simple thing. So overseas, things that women are attracted to is kind of intuitive to the women here, you know. Having manners is like highly attractive to women overseas. Thank you. that'll get you further than like pulling out a wad of money. And you'll be surprised. I mean, yeah, of course, you pull out a lot of money, you know, you'll get that attention from that, but that's not the attention you want. And as opposed to, and it's not all, just like it ain't all black men, just like it ain't all anything. You know, that's just what they put in your face. You know what I'm saying? Behind the screens, there are black men like all of us doing that work. There's black women doing that work. But if you want to listen to the propaganda, then of course you're going to think that there is a decline. Well, yeah, no, there is a decline. But it's not a decline that we caused personally, because like how you say, we have like this heart to open up and we allow a lot of this stuff to come in to destroy us.
Right.
You know, everything from LGBT to women's rights, it's been all hijacked from us. They use our bodies to get what they want. They told our black women that our men weren't good enough, their men weren't good enough for them, and you need money. And then they went ahead and told black women that if you're not married to this black man, we're not going to give you support. Whereas before, that same support was given to white families having a white man in the house. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like they tore us apart. And I'm not believing the hype. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I didn't know any better, I would think that we are the worst things. You know what I'm saying? We're whoremongers. We're, you know what I'm saying? We do all kind of this irresponsible and reckless stuff. But daggone the censor was like, nah, right, man, shoot, they have the babies. They don't even have to be in the house. They be divorced and all that crap. But they rewashed. Oh, what? You mean to tell me I'm a better dad than a Mexican? Now, no disrespect to any Mexicans,
right,
Hispanic, you know what I'm saying, or Asians. Like, oh, we're doing that kind of work? Yes, black men, come to find out, are doing that daggone work. And black women are too. So I don't think it's really a decline. I think it's a perception. You know, I think like if you're not looking closely, then you'll believe that there's a decline, you know.
It's to your point, man. Anytime we have this conversation a lot about the man and the woman dynamic, and I always tell people the average woman don't think like the social. For one, we got to understand social media is its own world.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
And real life is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
The average woman that you see in real life is not like the social media woman.
No.
The women on social media, the ones that the money women, they're loud. They're the loudest ones, so they get the biggest responses. But the average woman in real life, they can accept the man that's trying. They can accept the man that's giving effort. They can accept that. It's just we get so, and social media has done a good job of pitting men and women against each other.
Yes.
So instead of us coming together and loving each other, it's we at war with each other.
Yeah.
Which, like he said,
mm-hmm.
fake war is very strategic.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask the average woman, if she has a man, we're not talking about none of this ratchet stuff. We talking about real wholesome women that look to be married one day. Hey, if a man come to you, if a black man come to you and he's a good leader, maybe he don't make $100,000 a year, but he's about his business. He's a stand-up guy. He meets all your quality. Would you give him your hand in marriage?
Yeah.
The average woman is going to say, yeah.
That's right.
But the loud ones on social media, the ones that's louder than everybody, nah, he don't make $100,000. He can't do nothing for me. That may be 2 out of 10. We're going to say that might be 3 out of 10 women. But the other 7, they're going to accept the guy that's trying, that meets their criteria. So, like, that whole notion of, like, that's what women think. That's what social media got people thinking that women think. The real women that we have conversations with, a lot of them don't really think like that. Now, of course, they want their man to be a leader. They want them to have something going for themselves. But they don't, like, how these women nowadays, man, they make me kind of mad.
Did you, the Most High is like, well, you know, in the Bible, it breaks down like there's going to come a time where it's going to be so many women, so mm-hmm. few men that they're going to be willing to do whatever. And to like some old greedy, that type of energy, they love that verse. You know, the same cat that be like, King Solomon had all these concubines and wives. They cheer for that crap. You know what I'm saying? But it's not going to be what I think they in their mind perceive. You know, it's not going to be us taken advantage of. Because I feel like with anything, you recognize quality when you see it. And women, if you're honest, if you would tell, and I'm not saying they work for everybody, but if I would tell like some chick I'm dating, like, listen, you know, I love you, I want you in my life, but you know, I have other wants and I'm not gonna lie to you, but you know, I want to maybe have more than one woman with me and I want you to be cool with it. You know, it's up to you whether or not. You know, you might get them to say no, but you might get them to say yes. So honesty at that point becomes a way for you and y'all to grow, you know. I feel like a lot of ups and downs and within like the between man and woman comes from not being honest. And not to say like mean honesty, but like just like
laying it on the table.
Yeah, that like laying it on the table. You know. And if you listen to like the world, like how you're saying, they'll make you think like a man being vulnerable is like you're weak too. But like, dude, let me tell you something, man. Them quiet cats be the one that'll really be the ones that take you out. It don't really be them loud cats and all that popping and flashing. It be them quiet dudes. So when you start to put things in perspective and really look at how you're being manipulated, then you know what I'm saying? You're not so quick to jump to an argument with your wife over a misunderstanding or you'll seek ways to try to understand her so that you can make her or have her understand you, you know?
Like you're saying, man, communication is a big thing. If you could communicate, like if we're not talking at each other in the argument, hey, this is this, this is this. God gave you two ears and a mouth, and one mouth for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
If I can listen to you and then speak, then we might be able to get somewhere. But mainly, I think you have to have a strong mind to be on social media because social media tells you that you're doing everything in your life wrong.
Social media is false reality.
It's not a real place, man.
It's not a real place.
It's not a real, and so many people, yeah, young, old, men, women, they live by that. They live by the law. I just made a video on TikTok today about resting. Like, for the longest, I had to learn how to rest on my days off. Right. I had to learn that resting was okay.
Right.
Like, it sounds crazy,
yeah,
but because the world tells you.
You're being selfish.
Right. Yep. The world will tell you, yeah, that's selfish. Yeah. You're not goal-driven. You're lazy.
Yeah.
You got to be doing something. Yeah. It's 168 hours
in
a week. That's
that slave mentality. You wanted you to, you need to be out there in them fields, Negro.
You got to be doing something.
You got to do something all the time.
Social media tells us that. So I had to learn. I'm learning now that, dude, it's okay to rest.
Yes.
It's okay to rest. That don't mean you're not goal-driven. That don't mean you don't want anything in life. That just means, hey, I had a break today. I had a day off. Let me enjoy my day off.
Let me tell you something. I'll tell any man this. You holding your business. I ain't telling no irresponsible, you know, say bum this. If you handling your business, if you doing the stuff, you take care of the house, take care of the kids, take care of the wife, you taking care, you deserve a free day.
Exactly.
You deserve a daggone fake work, actually off, go to Carol Wednesday and buy the open pass and ride every roller coaster in that park.
Come home
and be on time to pick the kids up from school.
But
you deserve that.
You deserve it. And that comes with the maturity to be able to handle social media world to understand, like, this is his own place. Of course, I'm going to sell you on the dream. You know why you're not where you want to be? You're not working hard enough. Sometimes you can't do enough work to get to where you want to be. And it ain't going to happen in one day anyway.
Yeah.
So if you need that day of rest. It's okay.
Your mind. The Most High says on a 7-day rest.
Right, so that comes with that social media thing. Like we, I feel like this. If you're not mature enough to understand reality, and social media is two different places, you should not be on no type of social medias because this thing will tell you everything you're doing in your life is horrible. Everything you're doing is wrong. You're doing everything the wrong way, and there's nothing that you can do the right way. Because when you fix this problem today, somebody will come with a video tomorrow and say, "You've been doing it this way. That's the wrong way. This is why you ain't." Man. Guess what?
We have AI now, and we have these glasses we can put on our face that'll show you a different reality. So we're looking at the beginning, you know, saying 30 years from now, 40 years from now, it might be real.
The crazy part is a lot of people couldn't even handle Facebook and
you don't have
Instagram
to leave the house now to get your food. You can have everything.
Yeah.
You can have everything from your medicine to your cat food, dog food delivered to your house. You can just stay all day with an adult diaper on, with some oculars on, and just live in this fake reality.
I ain't even gonna lie. Our elders is in trouble, yo. Because
they are.
Like you said, they couldn't navigate social media because, again, social media is the devil. And my grandma always used to say that. And now I'm thinking about it like, dad, social media, what is the devil?
Well, it really is.
Well, it's good and bad. It's good and bad.
It depends.
But you got to have a discerning eye. And like with anything, I feel like as a being an older generation, looking at the generations coming up behind, you know, me, I feel like just like with anything, like the frustration my parents had, or maybe my grandparents had with my parents, whereas you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, like the opportunity, like you have access to like a whole entire encyclopedia in your pocket. Why are you making C's on your daggone reports? You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to like ride our bicycles to a daggone to the library and, yeah, and spend money in a copy machine on books that couldn't get all the whole page out this month. You had to make sure you put that thing. We had to learn how to put that book on the copy machine, right, so we can get what we wanted. And y'all can write now from your phone, Bluetooth, this whole entire article right to the printer right around in the room.
Exactly. Man, the library used to be like a clubhouse. It used to be a, man, what
I
you doing at the
library?
Right, like, what you doing at the school?
Yeah.
Man, we going to the library.
Yeah, all the,
man,
all
that
the,
used to be
all
something.
The smart girls be there, man.
Yeah, that used
the
library
girl,
used to
man.
Actually be something.
Dude, but see, it's like the ease of access makes us more, I don't know, like gullible, maybe? You know what I'm saying?
It makes you, real quickly, man, I was talking about this one day with my girl, and social media has done something so bad for us, and technology in general. Remember a time when you used to know people's phone number by heart?
Yes, yeah. Dude. I'm thinking that all the time.
You don't have to know anything now. No. I searched something on Google one day, and they gave me 3 billion results in a matter of probably 2 seconds.
See?
You don't have to know math anymore. You don't even have to remember your schedule because you can put it in your phone.
That's
so
crazy.
Your mind is a muscle. So if you any muscle you don't work out, you lose the density of it. So you lose the density of your mind.
Right.
Because we don't have to work it out. Anything this phone is.
I don't know my daughter's number right now.
I don't,
if I had to call my daughter right now, or my son, I don't know either one of their numbers.
And we look at it as like,
that's messed up.
We love to judge the young people on, but it has done a number on everybody. Like real life, if we had to solve out a long equation math problem, a lot of people couldn't do it because all we have to do is get a calculator. We have to get our phone out and it's a done deal.
We couldn't even use a calculator, man. I remember when they put the solar panel on calculators. You remember that? You remember when before they had solar panels?
When
they had the batteries. You remember when you take the calculator and put it in the light? I might be a little bit older.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm 29.
Yeah, you're 29.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Yeah, so there was a time when all calculators ran on batteries. You know, it's in the 80s, I guess, like 80-something. They came out with the calculators that you could take and put in the light. And they
That's crazy.
Yeah, they come on. You take about the light, they go off, you put them in the light, they come on. And that was magical.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, but I ain't gonna lie, man. We I hate that we
how long is the show? Is it an hour?
It's an hour. Okay, yeah, it's an hour. But
2.5 minutes left.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes.
Gotta give a shout out.
First of all,
I just want to thank you for like having me on your platform, man. You know, you're a positive brother, dude. And you know, I've watched you from afar, and you know, noticed you up close. And you're the first one to admit that you're still growing, but you know what I'm saying? You never shine on cats by how far you've grown and how much you've grown. And I respect that. You know, you have a humility about yourself that is very, I don't know, it's to certain people, it's off-putting because if you don't have self-confidence and self-esteem, then it would make them either hate or resent you. You know, it's hard to be or stand in certain realms and be like how you are as a man without getting that constant just barrage of hate and everything. And I think we all as black men, every man in this room, you know, we do, you know, we wake up in the morning, we go to work, we do what we do, we take our families, you know, we do the best we can, and there's no cheerleading squad at home waiting on us when we get home, you know. But you know, just like being in the company of brothers like y'all, you know, we man sharpens man like steel sharpens steel. So I appreciate you having me on this your platform, you know. And I remember I asked about Q, you know, because I love the word. Is like I said, the word is like what we can use to build off of, you know, because all black people go to church at one time or another in their life. I don't give a damn who you are.
Right.
And by having like a certain, just a basic understanding, you're able to build with that. So, you know, my hat's off to you, brother, you know what I'm saying? Both you young brothers, you know what I'm saying? And my man, you know, my engineer, you know,
yourself,
you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a positive thing. Like, we need more platforms where we can sit around and talk, like at a barbershop or, you know what I'm saying, like how we do at work or wherever, and learn from each other, man, because I don't know anybody who made it all the way by themselves. You know what I'm saying? If they did, they lie. You know what I'm saying? They're really lying. So, you know, I appreciate you so much for having me on this platform, man, and, you know what I'm saying? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, man, that was...
That was dope. That was
That was dope. That was fire. As you said, yeah. I ain't I was going to ask you a question, but you basically answered the question before I even can ask you the question, man. You just like in sync.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good
Q, you wanna close us out, man? Some last remarks.
Last remark for me, man. Just understand, social media and reality, two different places. Live in your reality and don't let social media judge what your life should be. That's all I got for you.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, guess what, y'all, man? We at the end of our show. I know. Y'all want us to keep going. But guess what? It might be a part two.
Hey, I'm with it.
Yeah, see? Hey, there we go. We just got to put it together, man. Yeah, listen, man, for all my listeners, thank you for just tuning in, man. I appreciate y'all. Y'all the real MVP, man. Make sure y'all go out to our social media platform, KeenMe_podcast on Instagram, man, also on Facebook. And then... if y'all boys want to shout out y'all.
Nah, man, I don't even know why I still.
I don't have no social platform.
He has no social platform, so there you go, man.
Find me on the streets.
And guess what, man? We out.
In reality.
Yes, sir.